side of heaven as we struggle through.
You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Oh, my word.
It was Passover time. So their family came over for dinner. And she, at the front door, as she comes to the front door, she's got in her hand a Bible, both New and Old Covenants. And she said to Tony, "This is for you." And my wife goes, "I just knew that I knew this is the book that I've been missing." Anyway, to make a long story short,
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
I want to let you know this. I swear before God, this is a true story. Now, you know I'm up in Vermont. I don't know how it happened. Usually at the bottom of the screen, it says either Vero's voice or Rhett Palmer. On the left bottom of my screen, it says a little teeny tiny words. It says The Miracle Center.
Yes. You know why?
Why?
Because that's the name of our congregation. We have a Zoom congregation on Saturday mornings, and from people around the country all log in, and we called it the Miracle Center.
That's a great name. As soon as I saw it, I do want to put a little thing in here. You mentioned that your wife had been Catholic, and I want to say this, that actually in the past couple of years, once in a while, I've been going to a Catholic church, especially up north, but. My mother was Catholic. My grandmother was Catholic. And of course, when I got born again at 29, we didn't become anti-Catholic, but for a long time, using different languages or not being forward with letting the scriptures be known, a lot of Catholics did not really maybe know the Lord. Now, a lot of them did. And a lot of some people are born again. They don't know they're born again. Some people go to church and just sit in the pew and they don't really know God. So I just want to put that little addendum in there that, you know, this is why, I mean, if you went to Hebrews, you'll find out that if you once believed Jesus died on the cross for your sins, really, and you are in fact converted and then go back to not believing in him, he cannot die twice on the cross. So Tony may have gone to Catholic church, but obviously she did not know Jesus.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she knew about him.
Yeah. About him. Right.
It's a big difference knowing him and about him. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yep. Anyway, so.
This is great. I love this. So it's, and of all the times, it's Passover.
Right. Exactly. Anyway, so the two of them started getting back together again. In the meantime, but Tony hasn't gotten saved yet, but she's very interested in what's happening here. Meantime, I'm still going through hell with my businesses. And then next thing that happens, she has such an encounter. It was almost like, I can't say almost, it was for her. It was a visitation. The Holy Spirit came in such glory in our family room. Now, I wasn't even there when this happened.
Was anybody there? Just Tony and Jesus?
Just Tony and Jesus. And she got so undone. She wanted to get underneath the carpet, you know, because she felt so unclean. She said it was like, and yet the Lord just met her and showered her with his love. And she got born again. And she received the Lord into her heart. And the next thing you know is that she's on cloud 59, whatever. She's way up there in the wilderness. I mean, for me, and I'm coming home. I'm a wreck. She's floating on. And I came up to her and I rubbed my arm against her because she tried to tell me about this Jesus and all this stuff. And to me, it was nonsense. You know, I just thought she was going through some kind of phase, you know. So I just, but one thing I spotted on her that I wanted. And it was peace. She had a peace on her that I couldn't even explain. I never saw it on her like this before. And so I rubbed my arm against her arm and said, "I want what you have, but I don't want this Jesus person." I said, "I'm a Jew." You know what she said? You know what she said to me?
What?
"So was he."
That's great.
And when she said that to me, it's like, whoa, you know, you know, you have to understand. I mean, to me, as a Jewish person growing up, no Jewish person can ever explain to you why they don't believe in Jesus. None of them can do that. They don't know why. They just know they're not supposed to. It's another religion totally. And the way I thought about it is that this person, whoever he was, this Jesus guy was hanging on a cross on top of a Catholic church. I knew nothing about it. I could care less about it. And it had nothing to do with me at all. Not knowing he was Jewish, not knowing his disciples were Jews, not knowing the whole book was written in Israel. I didn't know any of that stuff. This whole story, this is like a family, this should be a family story to me, you know?
This Jesus guy, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
We're driving around and there's a Jew that's crucified on that cross. Oh, my word, you know. Oh, this is amazing. This is, you know, I just wanted to put this addendum in. I had a similar experience. I did not believe in Jesus at all. And I had friends telling me that. And then all of a sudden that day that I got born again alone in my living room, I even went to the park that day and I had such peace. Even the birds would not fly away from me. I could go right up to them. It was a wild encounter. So this is great about Tony. I never knew her story. This is great. Continue on, please.
Yeah. So she's now in this la la land, and she's trying to tell me about this Jesus, and so now so something struck up in me that he was a Jew, and that came and went, and so every day I'm coming home, and she's in front of the TV set watching the phenomenal movie called Jesus of Nazareth, and she's watching it like every day, all day, and it's like she's in another place completely, and I can't even hardly relate to her because she's in such peace and such joy, and I'm going through hell. I said, babe, do you understand something? We're about to lose everything. Our house, everything is going to be gone. And she looked at me and she goes, so? We'll just start all over again. And I said, what? She just blew me away. Yeah. Anyway, so in the meantime, what was happening is that I came home one night now I'm at the bottom of the barrel. I've had it now. The stores are ready. I have somebody interested in buying and taking over three of the seven of them. And not that would bail me out, but it would at least get rid of three of them. But I'm not getting any inventory because I can't pay my bills. I'm telling you, rock bottom. I came home one night. She's in bed. I came home late one night and I said, I woke her up and I said, I'm ready. She was ready. I said, yes, I'm ready. I'm ready to do whatever I need to do to help me. And she said, so I said, I'm ready to receive this Jesus. So she led me in the sinner's prayer. I received the Lord, supposedly, not really knowing fully what I was doing, but I was so desperate. It's a good thing she didn't tell me about Buddha. I might have received him. But the Lord knew, of course. And anyway, so what happened was, is that the very next day I went into work, reluctantly, I went into work, and it was the worst day ever. I came home and I said to her, that didn't work. I need something else, you know. So she said, listen, either you're gonna handle this or you're gonna allow the Lord to handle it. I said, what are you talking about? What do you mean the Lord handle it? What is he gonna do? Is he gonna pay the bills? Is he gonna talk to the lawyers? What's he gonna do? She goes, I have no idea. But either you're gonna handle it or he's gonna handle it. And you gotta decide on that. And I said, how do I let him handle it? She just go in. Get on your face, get before him. He knows what you're going through and give it to him. I said, what do you mean give it to him? Just hand it over. Say, Lord, I have no idea how you're going to get me through this, but just give it to him. So I went in the other room, the bedroom, fell on my face. And I said, Lord, I prayed. And I said, it's the best of my ability. I didn't know really what I was doing. And I said, Lord, I need your help. You know what I'm going through. I just don't know what to do. So I'm looking to you. You know, I don't remember the exact, but something like that. Anyway, so I felt something lift from me, actually. And so I got up. And the very next day, I decided not even to go into work. So my wife and I went over to her cousin. My wife and I went over to her cousin's house.
Yeah.
They had a pool. And we just went over just to hang out and get my mind off of everything.
Yeah.
And I got a phone call from my attorney, who said to me, the three stores that these people wanted to, all they were going to do is just take over my lease, and the inventory. I wasn't really going to make any money. Just going to get me out of this, the three stores. Anyway, so they said, here's the deal. The bank, will not, by law, you have to send a letter to every vendor you owe money to and let them know what's happening. I said, what? Yes. Otherwise, this can't go through. And I said, oh, my God. I said, so they have to have a 20-day notice. And I said, oh no. Now mind you, I owe a lot of money, you know. And anyway, so the letter went out to every single vendor.
Well, hold on a second though. I never heard that you had to pay off your debts before you can sell a business.
No, before they were going to take the lease over, but the bank, because all of my loans were tied. Well, I was signed on personally with my house.
Uh-oh.
And so the bank wouldn't allow them to take over, the store without number one, giving the 20-day notice. And secondly, not allowing me off the loans.
Oh boy.
And so anyway, this was a group of stores that were already successful. So I wasn't too concerned about the loan part of it, but I was concerned about these vendors because the vendors could shut the whole deal down.
Ooh.
Anyway, so the letters went out and here I am biting my fingernails each day. 2 days go by, 4 days go by, 5 days go by. So far, nothing. I get a phone call from one of my vendors that I owe, like $300 to, or some small vendor. What do you plan on doing? And I told them, they said, well, I said, I'm planning on liquidating 4 of the stores and hopefully I want to pay everybody 50 cents on the dollar that I owe. And they said, well, you're going to have to do that right now for us. I said, all right. So I think it was $500. So I sent out, cut them a check for $250. That was the end of that. Another 4 or 5 days go by, nothing. I get another call from another vendor that I owed like $800 to. And I tell them the same thing, cut them a check for $400. Now, mind you, there's one vendor I owe something like $30,000 to, another vendor I owe like $22,000. I mean, I owe a lot of money out. Any one of them could have called. Not one of them, Rhett, called me. The only two that called me were these two small vendors that I paid off. That was the end. That was a miracle. I should have gotten phone calls. The whole deal should have been shut down. I mean, it was insane that nobody called me. Not one of them. When you owe somebody like $25,000 or $30,000 and you get a letter like this,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? The first thing you do is get them on the phone and say, what's the plan here? You know, not one of them called me to ask me that. That's how I knew God was in this thing completely. He was somehow, God was blinding them or something. And bottom line was that 20 days went by. That was the end of it. Okay. Because my lawyer said, I wouldn't turn the stores over to them until this is done. Well, guess what? I turned the stores over to them before this was done because the bank didn't know anything about this, but I had them take over the stores because I couldn't go on any further because I had no inventory to speak of. So they went ahead and took the stores over while we were waiting for 20 days to pass by. So we could literally have a closing. Bottom line was that the bank would not let me off the loans, but they were allowed to take over my leases and take over the stores. So that was a miracle. And the other stores that were left, I ran a going out of business sale on those stores. And whatever money I had came in from that, I paid off whoever I could pay off. And that was the end of it. But I knew. I didn't make any money. I lost money. I didn't make any money, of course. But I just wanted to get out of it. In the meantime, I was able to get a job for a shoe company that I went on the road for. I was a salesman on the road representing a company, and I did that for a few years. But here's this interesting part. This is where it gets wild. After I came to the Lord, my wife wanted me to go to a church, and I said, "Huh? Yeah." So she was the church that she had been going to, and I said, "All right," and I said, "I'll try it." So I go to this church. It's a spirit-filled, charismatic church. And I walked in there, and, you know, handkerchiefs are flying. People were on the floor. People were shouting and singing and praising and worshiping. This was, like, beyond for me. I stood there with my hands clenched. And this is what I was saying to myself. Get me out of here. Now. You know, and anyway, so, and you know what this weird thing was? And I was not a good Jew, okay? But I was standing there, and what I felt like I was betraying my people. That's what I felt.
Yes.
I felt I was betraying them standing in this church.
Well, let me put this in here. I spent some time, as a matter of fact, he came to my house. He's the guy who had the New York Times bestselling book called Abraham.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Out to Jews. And yep. we got along so well, Epstein or Einstein, whatever his name was. And we did 4 hours of interviews that day, recorded. And I finally got it. The reason the Jews are the way they are, because they're a little group of people.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day.